hill, the hill of Ophel. That's also mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. When Joshua conquered the land, they did not get Jerusalem. It was in the hands of the Jebusites, and it wasn't conquered until the time of King David, which is a little over 3,000 years ago. Now, in addition to David conquering it, in 1 Chronicles 14, 1 and 2, and chapter 15, verse 1, we have a simple statement that became an amazing story. It says that David built residential dwellings here. Well, you can tell the difference between a palace and a residential dwelling anytime you're doing archaeological work in the Holy Land. But let me read this to you. There's just an interesting fact. 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 1 and 2. And here's what we read. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build him a house. And David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. Chapter 15, verse 1, David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Now, they've uncovered residential dwellings here, 3,000 years old. The archaeologists know how to date those things. This isn't the only place where you find residential housings. But in Chronicles, we learn that there were timbers or cedars of Lebanon that were used in the construction process. That was not done normally in 3,000 years ago. So the archaeologists who first started digging here were naturally curious about residential dwellings on this hill that, according to the Bible, King David built next to his palace, because they should find cedars of Lebanon. People laughed at them. It was discovered in 1986, the foundation began, Ir David. And it wasn't very long until they ran into the residential dwellings that are primarily on the eastern side of this hill. And lo and behold, between the levels of stone homes were cedars of Lebanon. And you can imagine how excited they all were when they found it, because they knew this would be the only place anywhere close where we had the original city of Jerusalem. So naturally, the interest started in, the money started pouring in to do the excavations, and what they found from then on was indeed miraculous. It was incredible. So we learned that David's the one who conquered the city, and David's the one that built houses using lumber from cedars of Lebanon in these stone dwellings of 3,000 years ago. The third thing I bring to your attention is from 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 10. In 1 Kings 2:10, I have a simple little quote. And mind you, I know personally the people who worked here from the beginning. They got a wonderful rabbi who was for 18 years on the Golan Heights, and they brought him down here to manage this. His name is Yehuda Mali. And if you're interested, I have a 2-hour interview with him when we first started. But he carefully studied every single passage in the Tanakh, that is the entire Old Testament, and wrote down, put on a computer, every single reference that could possibly be connected with the original city of David. And so that's where a lot of this comes from. And here's what he read. 1 Kings 2:10. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Well, that is repeated several times. No kings of Assyria, the northern, but all kings of Judah. apparently the kings who were righteous and good were buried here in the city of David. Well, all those tombs, those royal tombs, were found on the east side of this hill, down towards the bottom. So it's amazing, really, when they read that and then they found it, you can imagine how excited they were. What else are they going to find? Well, as they were looking at the Gihon Spring, clear, fresh, running water, been running for thousands of years, you have to think about that. They also found a giant rock by the Gihon River. On it was, in Old Hebrew, the name of the prophet who anointed Solomon as king, and that was Nathan. So that was found here. Well, you can imagine, again, how excited they were. That's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 1. He was anointed at the Gihon River, the spring, by Nathan the prophet. Now, we're also told in the Bible, in 2 Kings 20 and 2 Chronicles 32, that King Hezekiah built a wall outside the old walls of the city of David to bring the water of the Gihon inside the city, which would make it more protective from anyone who tried to stop it up or hurt the people that were in the city. Well, according to the Bible, he built a tunnel 1,500 feet through solid rock. They had some who started up here, higher, and those who started down at the bottom. The amazing thing is how they met. Without modern instrumentation. There was a wonderful plaque they made in the wall of that meeting. And that's in a museum today. It's not in the tunnel. Now, we're also told in the Bible that King Manasseh, one of the wicked kings of Judah, who repented at the end of his life, he reigned for 55 years, and it was his wickedness that brought the Babylonian judgment. He slaughtered innocent children to the god Molech and spread the blood of babies and children all over Jerusalem, to the point the Lord God of Israel said, there's no remedy. He repented, and interestingly, a great revival broke out under Josiah, the young king, which showed that God was still merciful. So the Jewish people thought, oh, he's not going to destroy Jerusalem, even though he said so. But God answered, no, no, no. I will still judge Jerusalem. And that's hope for America, as I see it. We deserve the judgment of God. But you know, I'm not going to quit thinking we can't have a moral and spiritual awakening either. There could be a revival that could hit. Why? Because God is merciful. It doesn't mean he's going to withdraw his judging hand. Neither did it mean that in Israel. Well, Manasseh, scared to death over all the things that God said, he built the biggest, highest wall Israel had ever seen. And it came all along the west side, where we entered in, the west side of the hill of Ophel, and went up to the west of the current Temple Mount, over on the, what we call Zion, the city of the hill of Zion, into what today is the Jewish quarter of the old city. We will see this before we're done. And that great wall they found actually up there. And it is huge. It is gigantic. It is wide. It is high. And so then they realized this must be Manasseh's wall. So they followed it all the way down here, and sure enough. So you see, everything about the city of David, they just took their Bibles and followed the information. Now, we also learn in Jeremiah chapter 38 that they didn't like the preaching of Jeremiah the prophet, who was predicting the judgment of God by Babylon. So it says they put him in a pit in the hill of Ophel. And the pit was filled with mud. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And they had to even be careful how they let them down into it, wrapped him with several claws around his arms. Well, wouldn't you believe they found the pit? And you're looking at someone who's been in there. Actually, it was quite difficult getting in due to my size. But they pushed and shoved and got me through the hole. The only thing I wondered once I landed at the bottom is how am I going to get out of this place? And that was a chore, let me tell you. While they all laughed, which did not bless me. But Yehuda Mali happens to be a specialist in terms of rabbinical teaching on the book of Jeremiah. I'll never forget as long as I live. After we got down that hole, there was only about five or six of us. Yehuda dropped down through the hole, all the way down. And he sat there while we're sitting there, right by the mud, and told us the story of Jeremiah. I'll never forget it. He had us in tears. You know, your Bible is absolutely reliable in every sense. And you know, just so people wouldn't question it in the future, Yehuda ordered that the one corner of this giant cistern pit, small hole, but giant pit, about 25 feet down below the ground, he ordered that the mud would remain in one section of it so people would know that this is the pit of Jeremiah. You will also remember that since David was here, he wrote many psalms here. He wrote Psalm 40. He's taken me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock. Who knows but that he was referring to the same pit where Jeremiah was. I was looking in all the passages. It's amazing how many times the Bible confirms the accuracy of this. Now, just in wrapping this up, here's some things related to the future. The Bible teaches that this particular hill of Ophel, the city of David, is going to be comforted in the future by the presence of the Messiah himself. He's going to comfort this place and let them know you got the right place. Now I found that in Isaiah chapter 17, 28, 33, 59, 62, in Joel chapter 2, which Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, and Zechariah chapter 9. Do you understand? It's everywhere. This is the spot where the Messiah will return. And what does the Bible say? He's going to sit on the throne of who?
David.
Oh, David. In the city of David? Well, where would that be? So all those preachers that have been talking about the Temple Mount and everything else, you're way off. This is the city of David. This hill. And of course, what's under it, which you will see in a few moments. And this is the place where God will set up the throne of the Messiah and vindicate everything that was said about this place in the past. Who would think that 30 acres would be so significant in the future? Messiah is going to make it so significant, that's for sure. And you know, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he quoted it and said, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, referring to the city of David, will be deliverance and salvation. The Bible even says, out of Zion, the city of David, will come salvation. And that's an amazing story. And the hill is going to be celebrated in the future by all the believers. So if you're kind of hot and tired, been a long day, and the only thing on your brain is to go through the Hezekiah tunnel, I want you to know that the Bible says in several passages that you are going to sing and rejoice on this hill in the future, realizing that God's wonderful plan remained unbroken through all history, including the history of Gentile salvation. God's not done with the Jews, nor is he done with the city of David or Mount Zion. But one day he will show the whole world that in Zion, Mount Zion, is salvation and will be the reign of the Messiah forever and ever. And I'd like to remind you all who are New Testament buffs only and forget that most of your Bible is in the Old Testament, I remind you that in Hebrews 12, it tells you when you die, you are come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Amazing to me that God would take this little place and what they called it over 150 times and remind us of our heavenly home. You say, is it going to look like this? Will there be all these kids signing up? No. There's going to be a geographical renovation of planet Earth. And now I offer you my view. This is David's view. There are many Bible teachers who think I'm crazy. I believe I have the proof. I believe this entire planet. This is my answer to Al Gore. I know how to handle the problem of the environment. At the end of the tribulation, God's going to blow the place sky high. That will solve the environmental problem. Think of it. People say, well, what's going to happen to us? Well, wait a minute. The one who flung the worlds into existence in 6 days can probably just move you over to another galaxy while he blows the planet up. According to the Bible, the molecular structure of everything will melt, be dissolved. Now, because people are afraid that might be happening too soon, they said, well, maybe that happens after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Impossible. Why? Because all the topographical changes of the 1,000-year reign of the Messiah necessitate the destruction of the present earth. You see, the Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. Here's another interesting thing. If you're a true believer in the Messiah, you're going to rule and reign with him. And you'll get your orders from the hill of Ophel, where the throne of David will be set up and the Messiah will be calling all the shots. You say, well, what about the temple? Is it going to be here? No. Is it going to be there? No. Where's it going to be? He's going to level all the mountains, at least reduce them down, so that there's only one mountain which he himself will construct, which will be the largest, biggest mountain in the history of the world. And on top of it will be put the biggest structure the world has ever seen, the most beautiful building of the world, and that's the Messianic Temple. And the Temple Institute will not be needed to construct that one. Amen. Done by the Messiah himself. Amen. So you see, if you really study your Bible, this place all of a sudden becomes highly significant. You're going to see a lot that has been uncovered and discovered here. And in your walk through the Hezekiah Tunnel, what you will probably think, as I did, after I got used to stumbling around in the dark, is that how in the world did they do this? Out of solid rock, and the two groups meet, because it's not straight, as you will find out. Anybody want to cancel it? No, you've got to do it at least once. Amen? And it was here that I brought a team of 11 people and did all the work in Gihon River, going underground, seeing all the caverns and tunnels that go clear up to the Temple Mount. And the funniest thing that happened, we had a cable 150 feet with a little camera the size of your thumb on it. We took 27,000 pictures. And when we went into the water, the last word was from Yehuda Mali, the rabbi here, and he said, by the way, David, if you see a box with a gold top on it, don't touch it. Anyway, a lot of them still believe it's in one of those caverns under the ground, and appropriate would it not be that it would be in the city of David. But we really don't know. So, we're ready for our tour. There are bathrooms here where you can change if you need to. and use the shoes you want. And Doron will now tell you that almost everything I said is greatly questionable.
No, I forgot the good news.
The kids are glad.